Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Summertime is hard when you have kids because they always want to go to the beach, you know? I fucking hate the beach. The beach is the worst, you guys. Because honest to God, I have the body of a 12-year-old girl who is just starting to grow breasts. That's my body type. But I also have this. I have the mustache that grows 5 times faster than the rest of my facial hair. So I simultaneously look like a 12-year-old girl and a 14-year-old Mexican boy. If you average the two together, I look like a 13-year-old Latino transvestite. That's my look. It's not a good beach look, you guys. So I'm self-conscious about my body, you know. So I'm the guy who wears the t-shirt on the beach, you know. I'm t-shirt wearing guy on the beach. But I'm self-conscious about the fact that I'm wearing a t-shirt, so I lie about it. You know, my friends will be like, hey, why don't you take off your shirt? It's 102 degrees. And I'm like, you know what? I'm actually cold. Can you believe that? You see these goosebumps? I'm cold. You know who I hate? The guys who bring the football to the beach. Those guys are the worst, too. I hate those guys. They're always a fucking cut, and they carry the football, and they always have that same look on their face, you know? Like everything is bullshit. They kind of look like this. For those of you listening at home, I just did an amazing rendition of a guy looking like everything was bullshit.
That was Michael Ian Black from his album I Am a Wonderful Man. Welcome to Stand Up with Chris DiStefano. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Michael Ian Black is a wonderful man.
He is, yeah.
I like a guy that has three names.
Michael, Ian, and Black.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Michael, yeah. Michael,
those are the three names.
Ian, and Black.
Yeah.
He's, you know, Michael Ian Black's one of those guys like I've never met, but I feel like I know him. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, because he's a wonderful man. He's got a familiar face.
He's wonderful. He's a good kid. And, yeah, I always thought he was funny. And he's been doing stand-up like a million years. But he's also, like, he's one of those guys, like, he's in so many movies and TV shows that you forget
yeah.
he does stand-up.
Yeah.
That can happen.
That can happen.
Because here's the thing, babe. Here's the
Tell
thing.
Tell me. This is Stand Up with Chris DiStefano.
This is Stand Up with Chris
we
DiStefano.
Like to get into the things.
The things. Babe. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Tell me.
With stand-up, you want your fans to be there because they like your stand-up.
Okay.
Not because they thought you were funny in a movie.
Okay.
And Michael Ian Black has fans because of his stand-up. That's why I'm bringing it up. Because if they're fans of your movie or the TV show that you
mm-hmm,
did,
mm-hmm.
then your stand-up may be completely different and they may be let down and be like, well, oh, that person's not as funny as I thought.
Right.
I think it's easier for people to be stand-ups first and then actors or actresses second.
Yeah.
As opposed to being an actor and actress and then coming into stand-up.
Okay.
So hard.
It is hard. I think people are trying to do it.
Well, the thing is with comedy is like, it doesn't matter who you are, fucking Kevin Hart, Seinfeld, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
the audience doesn't care anymore. You've worn off. Either you're going to be funny and they're going to laugh at you, or you're not going to be funny. So even the megastars of comedy can be brought down to earth
uh-huh.
every single night, where like an actor, like nobody's going to ever treat J-Lo or Robert De Niro like shit. That's just not going to happen anymore in their life. Everything they say, people are going to be like, yeah, 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 yeah.
That's true.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's easier for an actor, and I'm not saying they are, but it's easier for an actor and actress to just be surrounded by all these people in Hollywood to like feel like they're godlike.
To yes man them.
Yeah, and they just kind of, you know.
You don't think.
So that's why when they start to come and do stand-up, sometimes it's bad in the beginning.
When Jennifer Lopez starts to do stand-up,
listen,
people are like, whoa.
The best thing I've ever seen is Fat yeah. Joe do stand up? The
oh,
rapper
really?
Fat Joe.
I love him.
Great.
All the way up.
He did stand up and it was so funny. He just
really.
He did a 5-minute set and he cursed. I would say like for 4.5 minutes was cursing.
Really?
Like
of the whole thing?
Yeah. Like I can't even count. Like it's infinity curse words. He just kept saying
that's
fuck shit. But he told this cool story about Mike Tyson about how Mike Tyson when. In like the 90s when like Mike Tyson was
mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson, like heavyweight
mm-hmm.
champion of
mm-hmm.
the world,
mm-hmm.
Mike fucking Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
he was outside the club. There was a very famous club in the city. You don't know because you're 10 years old.
It was called
The Tunnel. The Tunnel was like the famous New York City club Giannis Pappas, good friend of mine, got shot in the leg outside of.
What?
Yeah, Giannis got shot in the leg. Yeah.
Before or after a set?
Giannis Pappas, he had nothing to do with comedy. That's the thing.
Just walking.
Yeah. Giannis is like, he's like from like these elite schools, and he'll always be like, Chris, you got no class. You're Brooklyn trash. I'm like, you've been shot. That's the definition of not having class. If you've been shot, because he used to, you've seen the movie Kids. Have you ever seen the movie Kids?
No, but I know about it.
Nicole, what the fuck is...
Okay, six.
Listen, first of all, we're going to start having segments on this show teaching young Nicole old people shit.
Okay.
You need to know... I mean, what do you mean you've never seen Kids? What's your trendy Breaking the Rules movie? Fucking Wreck-It Ralph?
Spring Breakers. Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, never been so dissed in my life.
I mean, you're just so young. People are honking their horns right now. But like, what? This girl's never seen Kids?
Yeah, people are turning their heads to look into this.
People are driving their cars off bridges that you've never seen. Okay, first of all, homework assignment.
Next episode,
we're going to watch Kids, and you're going to see like a 15-year-old Rosario Dawson. You're going to see like people, you're like, what? They're in that movie? Isn't what's her face? Chloe Sevigny, isn't she in that one?
Savigny.
I mean, it's like the crazy movie. People get AIDS.
Okay. Well, that's what this podcast is. This podcast is not about AIDS, but it's about you teaching me. No.
Yeah.
Not if I can help it. It's about you teach you're imparting your wisdom of stand up and culture at large on me.
Yeah,
so you got to let me know.
Yeah,
what it is.
You can tell me all the problems with America.
I'm saying
young people now. They're always
because
like,
we know the problems.
America, boo. Okay, so let me. So Kids. The reason why I brought it up, Kids, is that's where like my friend Giannis. That's like where he came from. That was a whole culture, like these very like prep school kind of kids, but they were bad, like. You know, nightclubs selling drugs, all that shit.
I know what it's about.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but because you asked me how did he get shot, and that's he was basically handling the money. He knew the owner of the tunnel because these were like prep school kids that he went to high school with.
Uh-huh.
So he got like a job, like basically taking the money from the tunnel to the car, to whatever drop off location. And, you know, criminals track that. So they were tracking him for like weeks, and then they shot him and stole the money, and they missed his femoral artery by like. An inch.
Not the femoral artery.
Yeah, he had a bullet. He still has the bullet in his butt.
Bionic man.
Yep, he's got a butt bullet.
That's
So he got shot, and I don't know what. Why? How did I start bringing that up?
Because we're
Fat Joe.
We were talking about Fat Joe doing stand-up.
We're talking about stand-up.
Can they do stand-up?
Yeah. So Fat Joe told the story about how like Mike Tyson, like heavyweight champ, early 90s, Mike Tyson. They're outside the tunnel.
Yeah.
Fat Joe and Big Pun. Do you know Big Pun?
I don't know if I'm ever going to know what you're talking about.
I was in such a good mood when I came in here, and you're really making me upset that you don't know who Fat Joe or Big Pun is.
I know who
Fucking Lil Yachty is, or whoever you need me to know.
Lil Yachty,
whoever your go-tos are, Lil
the
fucking
Fat Joe
Pete,
of our
whoever.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
It's Vincent Van Gogh to us.
Yeah, I know. I know who these Tekashi 6ix9ine is. And you don't know.
That was good.
And you don't know Big Pun. Okay, so Big Pun and Fat Joe were like iconic 90s Puerto Rican rappers.
Yeah.
Like iconic, like the Bronx Terror Squad. It was like Fat Joe, Big Pun were fucking huge. So they're outside the tunnel.
Chris is sweating.
This is all Fat Joe. Yeah, I know. I'm like immersed in Puerto Rican culture. So. You know, Fat Joe and Big Pun are biggest rappers in the world, a couple of the biggest rappers in the world, and they're wearing like $25,000 chains. And these group of guys used to, you know, like they knew celebrities would be coming in out of the tunnel, and they would rob rappers, they would rob drug dealers, like they were just like crazy, you know, like gang guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And they held Fat Joe and Big Pun at gunpoint and wanted to take their chains off their neck, right outside the tunnel.
Yeah,
and, like, security from the tunnel's not going to help because they don't want to get shot.
Of course.
Coincidentally, at that moment, like a few seconds after they're being held at gunpoint, Mike Tyson and his bodyguard roll up in a Rolls Royce, and Mike Tyson has no shirt on, was doing cocaine all night. Has no shirt on, is jacked.
Allegedly.
Mike Tyson, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, and comes out, and he's like, yo, who fucking with my man Fat Joe and Big Pun? Who fucking with my man?
That's an incredible
And then he comes out, and from like fists up, ready to fight, drug dealers at gunpoint, and the guys put the guns down and ran away. And basically just a shirtless, coked up heavyweight champ, Mike Tyson.
That's all it took
away. And the drug dealers ran away with their guns, and then Fat Joe and Big Pun got to keep their chain. So that he told stand-up
about
that.
That's what his stand-up was about.
And yeah, and it was just a lot of fucks and shits.
That's really similar to a bit I do, so I guess I've
just
stopped doing
that.
Yeah,
you can't do it. Don't talk about... When did shirtless Mike Tyson save you?
Is that Side the Tunnel?
He's got a funny podcast. It's where he's just... It's called Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, where you just sit in a room with Mike Tyson, and the room is... They just hot box it with weed.
That's so
and
scary.
And you're just high yelling at Mike Tyson. And he asks you dumb questions that don't, like, exist.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I saw Jeremy Piven do stand-up one time. Speaking of actors doing stand-up. And I think... I maybe forget, but I think he also had a bit about Mike Tyson.
Probably.
Which is... That's, I guess, just...
Mike Tyson's a huge Entourage fan.
That's probably what
huge
it was.
Huge Entourage fan.
That's probably
fan,
what
so.
It was.
Yeah, I saw Jeremy Piven do stand-up at Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
Oh,
have you ever been to Moon Tower Comedy Festival?
No.
We got to start going to comedy festivals.
We do.
We're going to do it. Well, we're taking over Clusterfest main stage.
Right,
we talked about that.
Yeah. Let's get into the next beat, yeah?
I got more cocaine Mike Tyson shit I want to talk about,
you?
But fine. Let's just kick it to Patton Oswalt. That's the same. Going from cocaine shirtless Mike Tyson to Patton Oswalt seems reasonable on this podcast.
That's a nice
transition.
Yeah.
They're the same guy.
They are the same guy.
Yeah.
We got a clip not only from Patton Oswalt, but also from Lisa Traeger coming up. The Patton Oswalt clip is from the special Tragedy Plus Comedy Equals Time. And then we got a Lisa Traeger clip from her album, Glitter Cheese.
My fitness goals... one, I would like to stop looking like I'm wearing a bulletproof vest all the time. That'd be nice. That'd be a nice little change, not to have the bulletproof vest. Yeah. And then, also, I would like to not be in a rascal scooter at my daughter's high school graduation. That's my other. I don't want to be cut. I don't want to be muscular. I don't want to be trim. I want to be standing on my original kneecaps. No metal, no plastic, original patella. Not sitting in my little scooter that they parked under the tree in the shade because pop gets hot. I'm waving the towel I brought from the hotel. Daddy's proud, sweetie. Daddy's proud. Whew. I don't know why they don't do this in the fall. It's so... Got to do it in May. It's so hot. It's crazy, isn't it? I'm going to go get in the access van and crank the AC for a little bit. Swab my folds. Yeah. Swab my folds always gets that. Oh! Really? Three perfectly nice words. That's the title for your morbidly obese porn films right there. That series, Swab My Folds, yeah. Yeah, do you guys see Swab My Folds 1 through 9? It doesn't get good till number 3. 3 through 7 are great. The girl from 1, remember she got the lap band and it didn't take and she comes back for number 5. It's so victorious, it's like, boom, just roaring back.
Also, if you are in a couple, if you're a couple, I would prefer you to hold hands for sure. I feel like I'm into PDA. Couples that don't hold hands are the worst for me. It's kind of like thin people that don't dress well. You know, it's like, you do not deserve that. But maybe that's my own problem. No, I'm trying to get skinny. I've been eating a lot of seaweed paper, so I'm on it. I did just get a personal trainer, which is exciting, but you don't just get one. You have to meet with this head guy. And he was like, what kind of trainer do you want? Male, female? What's your style of working out? I was like, I want a big, black, muscular man. Like, duh. Why would I want to work out with anybody else? And then he was like, well, we have this African dude, and it felt really weird to be like, yeah, I'll take him, you know? Felt weird. But Kofi's doing good. He's so hot. No, but I still get kind of insecure when I go to the gym. Just people look so good. So I started doing this new thing where I tell people that I have children, and then they're like really impressed with my body. They love it. Just like, meow, little Emma, she's 3 months old, just a giggle monster. Yeah, it's great. I mean, she's reading. I'm just such a good mom. No, I would never have kids. It's fucking disgusting. So gross. Pregnant women are so gross, their belly buttons are growing away from them because it's disgusting. I mean, so this is the thing. There's like three types of people I don't trust in the world, okay? So one, people that eat almonds. I don't trust you. No fucking, like, people that are like, oh yeah, just a handful of almonds, I'm good to go for the day. You're a liar. Fucking liar, I don't trust you. I also don't trust people with reptiles as pets. Thank you. Yeah. Have you ever met one normal person who likes to touch a lizard? I don't think so. And then the third worst type of person are men that are like, my pregnant wife is so beautiful and sexy. I love to make love to my pregnant wife. Like, he's murdered before. So get out of there. No, and they all want gifts for their babies, and like, I do not buy gifts for babies. I feel like buying a gift for a baby is like buying someone in a coma a new dress, you know? They don't know how to use it. They're not going to remember it. And they're going to shit all over it. So don't do it.
There it is. It's Patton Oswalt from his special Tragedy Plus Comedy Equals Time. And then Lisa Traeger from her album Glitter Cheese. I don't know Patton. I know Patton Oswalt, but I don't know. I've never met him.
Yeah.
But huge fan. Mm-hmm. And Lisa Traeger, I do know, she came from Chicago New York City.
Yeah.
And I think she came in 2013 and she sent me a direct message on Twitter saying, hey, I'm new to the city. We worked together at Zany's Comedy Club a couple of months before. Can you introduce me to some people? And I did.
Look at that.
Lisa and I
have
been friends.
Chris, key to the city.
Key to the city, Chrissy D.
I love that.
Both great. I mean.
Yeah, good bits about
being,
you know, bodies.
Yeah. Bodies.
Do you feel like, how much does your personal, like what you look like, affect your stand-up? Because I feel like a lot of comics, when they start out, they do bits about what they look like.
Yeah, there was, you know, it's like a little dead, not a giveaway, but like, it's like you always know, like, when this person's probably relatively new at comedy, because I did the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And I've watched old clips of me, and you always hear it. They say, let me tell you a little something about myself, or let me tell you a little bit more about me.
Uh-huh.
Comedians always say that, and then that's always like, oh, they're new, because I did that.
Because
it's like, that's just like a thing. Or they'll say, you know what's weird? Or like, when things at work, you know, it's weird. Or, you know.
You never notice.
And that's like, you know, whatever.
Because they're addressing that they're talking about themselves?
I think when you first start out, it's like very, like, not easy. It's like, you know, you look in the mirror, you're like, what can I talk about? Oh, me.
I think that's
the best comedy. It's comedy about yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I like? I like when I see, I like you. I like
I like you.
That
was smooth.
Cute. I like when a comedian goes on stage and at the end of their performance, I feel like I know them.
Okay.
I feel like I know a lot more about them as opposed to, even though they're really funny, all the observational stuff where I'm like, yeah, but I don't know anything about you. I want to know who you are.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Yeah,
like they used to say at the Montreal Comedy Festival, like, give us your sitcom in 5 minutes. You know, that's what they used to say.
So that would be
like all autobiographical stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously Patton Oswalt and Lisa do that the best. What the most impressive thing that Patton Oswalt, in my opinion, was able to do is take tragedy that happened in his life when his wife suddenly passed away and not make fun of that, but just talk about his feelings with it. And like, I think everybody respected Patton Oswalt to begin with. I mean, he's been a legend comic, but after it's like Mount Rushmore of comedians because it's like the way he was. I don't know if you ever saw a good thing to Google, like true stand-up fans, go Google Patton Oswalt's first interview on the Conan O'Brien show or Conan, what it was called, after his wife passed. Like this six weeks after his wife passed. And to tell you his point of view about it and just make it so emotional but so like gut-wrenching funny, I was like, this man is... if you don't respect him, it's like you're fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Because to be able to do that was like
to just address it.
Holy shit! Talking about how his kid felt and how his, you know, how he told this bit about like how another kid basically confessed to his kid that his dad was cheating on his mom, and it's this.
So
that kid knows what Patton Oswalt's daughter's going through.
Right,
it's
right,
like crazy
right.
shit.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, and it's just so unbelievable. And I was like in awe. Like I watch it. I go back and watch it at times because it's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe how good this was.
And to make it, and then put it in a comedy special as
And then
well.
Put it in
That's
the comedy
crazy.
Special. Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's pretty, it's great. And then, man, have you ever seen Patton Oswalt perform live?
I've never seen him live, actually.
Let's go.
I would love to, though.
Have you ever seen Lisa Traeger perform live?
I have seen Lisa Traeger perform
Samesies.
She's the best. I love her.
Oh, yeah.
I love her, like, her personality. Like, I feel like we were talking in an earlier episode about how just anything that someone could say would be funny. Like Hannibal, like anything Hannibal could say. I feel the same about Lisa.
Yo, Lisa Traeger, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Lisa fucking Traeger.
Let me tell you something.
Yo, that girl is fearless. Okay, so the comedy, I'm going to tell you the story.
Yeah, tell me.
People know about this. She's mentioned, she's talked about it before. It was, and I just happened to, I've been standing in the hallway at the Comedy Cellar, which got, you know, iconic New York City club, been there since the 70s. Everybody who's everybody performs there and still performs there. It's great. Come, go to the Comedy Cellar.
Uh-huh.
The hallway, you walk down the stairs and then there's the showrooms there. And then there's a hallway where the comedians who are waiting to go on, you know, are waiting. So I got bumped by Chris Rock, which happens this one night. It's happened. Dude, I was there one night. Let me quick before I tell you the story about Lisa because it's nuts. There's an iconic photo.
Yeah.
If you can Google this, I have it up on my Instagram. One night, Amy Schumer.
Uh-huh.
No. Amy Schumer, Jerry Seinfeld, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, I think I've
Chris
seen
Rock.
This. Yeah.
And Aziz Ansari all came into the Comedy Cellar on the same night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seinfeld left initially, but so the first comic went up. That show, and then I was supposed to go second, but I got bumped by Seinfeld. So they're like, okay, whatever, it happens. Yeah. I'll go up after Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Then I get bumped by Schumer. Then I get bumped by Aziz. And I'm nobody's
really?
Coming down. I'm the one on deck. So I'm watching
oh
these people
God.
Lose their fucking minds. And then the New York Times, like, this is how crazy, like, the New York Times got wind of it because, like, it was, so they sent a reporter down there, like, immediately. And there's this picture that they put in the New York Times. It's called, like, a billion-dollar comedy photo.
Yeah.
And then if you look in the background, I'm just staring at the
You're
wall.
You're in it?
I'm in it just looking blankly at the wall because, like, I care. But I also don't care.
Right,
it's like
I'm
trying to work on my shit, and like I just keep getting bumped by these great people that I love. But
oh
I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm here every night, man. Like they're great. Can I go on? And you know, but you can't. If they're going to bump you, they're going to bump you. But then the cool thing about the Comedy Cellar is the show was fucking over. I mean, after Dave Chappelle goes on, the show's over. But they let me go on
show.
Yeah, and I was able to, you know, like get a chance to follow all of them, and it was pretty cool. I made some fans because they were like, oh, that was cool that you could do that.
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely.
Like
absolutely that's
that was,
tough
it was tough but I just did I just addressed it, you know.
So Lisa
My God. So I get bumped, this is like a year ago.
Okay.
Right, I get bumped by Chris Rock.
Uh-huh.
Chris Rock's on stage.
Uh-huh.
Whatever, and Chris Rock's working out material that he eventually puts out.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you know, kind of bare bones material about, like, you know, like all the stuff that's happening, like the Me Too shit and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Whatever. And it's like bare bones jokes. And he said something, I forgot what he said, where Lisa was like, you don't know what you're talking about. From the crowd, because she was going to the bathroom. From the crowd. No, but listen, goes from the crowd, like she's on her way to the bathroom, because the bathroom's in the back of the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
So you have to walk through the showroom to go to the bathroom. So she was on her way to the bathroom. Chris Rock says whatever. I don't know the word. I don't know the joke that he was doing. And he goes, she says that. She goes, you don't know what you're talking about. And then Chris Rock like looks out from under the light, like, because think he's got like heckled by an audience member. And he was like, Lisa? And then she was like, yeah. And then it got to the point where like they had like this back and forth dialogue that they just made like really funny. But I was just like, I can't believe she just fucking heckled Chris Rock.
Holy
like, I genuinely cannot
shit.
Believe that she just heckled Chris Rock. And then she just was upstairs, like, eating French fries, like, yeah, I didn't like what he said. And I was like, you're fucking
Yo,
nuts.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I cannot imagine doing that.
Yeah, it was nuts. But, you know, like, listen, what happens, and I get it, it's happened to me before, too, where if you met, not that that's a mess up, but, like, there's rules at the Comedy Cellar. Like, you can't, you know, heckle the comedians. You know, if you call out of spots late or if you have to cancel your spots, like, there's just penalties. And, like, we didn't see Lisa for about a month at the Comedy Cellar. It's happened to me before.
No.
I haven't been at, you know, where you just get penalized.
Right.
Here's how you get penalized at the Comedy Cellar. If you fuck up, one of two things happens. Either you don't get spots for about a month, which has happened to me, or sometimes even worse. Not even worse, but sometimes like this hurts because I've had to like have last minute cancellations because of like my daughter or like booking something. So she'll book you. The booker, who's Esty, who's great. She's been booking club for 30 years. Like, she's like our mom, truly. Like, she, that's what's beautiful about the Comedy Cellar and the comedian to the Comedy Cellar is she treats us like family, like we're all a family.
Cool.
But, you know, moms, you know, you get punished. So she'll book you. She'll give you, if you're on her bad side, she'll book you. She'll give you a spot at 7 o'clock, like 7:05, and then 2:05 in the morning. So you're, so you'll have a 7-hour break. No spots in between. 7:05, 2:05, and it's assumed that when you go to the Comedy Cellar and you are on the first show, you just sit at the table and hang out for the night.
Oh,
you
no.
You just have to sit there for 7 hours while she looks at you.
Wait, has that happened to you?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. But what do you do?
Well, you just deal with it because it's one of those things. It's one of those things where it's like the same in life where it's like if, you know, if I'm mad at you and I have emotions towards you, it's probably because I care about you and I like you and you're one of my people. If I didn't say anything to you, then I wouldn't care. Mm. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, it sucks. You get penalized. But that means like she I believe it means like she appreciates you having you in the club and she looks at you like a family member. So it's like, I always get spots.
Right.
Like, because the thing is, with the Comedy Cellar, it's like, you know, every comedian's trying to get in there. It's most comedians' goals.
Yeah.
And you have to just keep calling in your avails and emailing in your availability because she's got so many comedians to choose from that you don't, sometimes you never become one of her comedians or sometimes you're always kind of in but out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in 2014 and the whole for 2014 I'm talking about 365 days like they're open 365 days a year out of 365 chances days and times probably 1,000 chances with all the shows they do I got 5 spots in 1 year I got 5 spots but I kept emailing every Tuesday when we every Sunday when we sent in the avails and then in 2015 I just, it's all like kind of like luck of the draw and like, you know, what do they say luck is? Practice meeting opportunity. What is it again?
Preparation meeting opportunity.
That was Comedy Central Chloe. Preparation meeting opportunity. I was just down there one day doing shows and Esty was going to the bathroom coincidentally and just saw me having a really good set. And then, and then since then, I've just been one of her guys where I get, you know, a lot of spots and,
that's
you know,
so
I'm featured and all that shit.
So doing it.
Persistence, baby.
Well.
You got to be consistent. And I'll tell you guys a story about consistency and Jim Gaffigan after we play a clip from him. Look at who's getting fucking so good at seamless shit. It's Chrissy D. Am I?
Yo.
Look at this. Yeah. Chrissy Radio Waves.
Chrissy DJ.
Comedy
Central Chloe again with a snipe. Nice. Chrissy DJ.
All right. So this is from Obsessed, from his album, Obsessed.
Yeah. Great. Play it.
I don't know if you can tell by my beard, but I'm fat. I don't know what happened. All I did was eat constantly. And then boom, I'm fat. Seems unfair. I can't stop eating. I can't. I haven't been hungry in like 12 years. I'm like, oh, I'm so full. I guess I'll have some cheese. I don't even like this cheese. Guess I'll finish it.
Maybe this will make me hungry. You ever tell yourself that? Maybe this will make me hungry. It's either that or feel my feelings.
You know what? You're only eating your feelings. Yeah, but they're delicious. I can't stop eating. You ever look at medication that says don't take on an empty stomach? Never a concern of mine.
It doesn't apply to me.
You're not supposed to go swimming till... Technically, I should never go swimming. Like, if you saw me in a pool, it'd be like, arrest that man! And tell him not to wear a Speedo. I don't need that image. I used to be thin when I was 6. I put on some weight, but luckily this is intentional. I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm preparing for kind of a big role. It's a cinnamon roll. I don't look like I can't finish it, you know what I mean? Once after a show, a woman came up to me and she was like, you're not that bad. Like it was a compliment. I was like, well, thank you. You're not that polite. But I am fat. You know, some people should be fat, you know? We all have that friend that's lost tons of weight, and whenever you see him, you always think, you look better fat. You're thin, but you look exhausted. Go back to being fat. Looking at you makes me want to sit down. Nothing tastes as good as thin. I can think of 1,000 things. Even unsalted French fries taste better than thin. You ever eat fries without salt on them? You're like, huh, these could use some salt, but that would mean I'd have to get up and move. I'll just imagine there's salt on them. Feels like a sacrifice. You're like, what am I, a pioneer here? Sucking it up. I should be on that show Survivor. Once I had fries without salt on them, so I'd probably live anywhere, really. I just wish I wanted to eat something healthy. Recently, I saw an apple, and for a moment, just a moment, I didn't recognize it. I was like, what is that? Oh, that's an apple! So weird to not see it in a pie. But fruit, no one really wants fruit. It's too much work with fruit, right? You gotta wash it, you gotta peel off that sticker Al-Qaeda put on there. There's work. Like an orange, has peeling an orange ever really been worth it? There's not even chocolate in this. And some weirdos, they use the gathering of fruit as an activity. Why don't we go apple picking? Because I'd rather die. You have to pay to pick apples.
Okay, how much do I owe you to work for you for free? Don't rip me off. I'm no dummy.
Yeah, we still act excited when we see fruit. We're like, yay, fruit! At least it's not vegetables. Because no one wants vegetables. When you're at a party and they have a vegetable tray, aren't you almost surprised? You're like, wow, that's a waste of money. Hell, I'd rather eat a candle.
Oh, suddenly I'm the only one here that's eating a candle. Okay, everybody.
No one wants vegetable tray. Everyone knows crudité is French for throw away in a couple hours. I feel sorry for those vegetables on the tray. They're like, what am I doing here? I can't compete with pigs in the blanket. I'm a cauliflower, for God's sakes. Like that ranch dressing's gonna help? Ranch dressing. Some of us have to settle down with the ranch dressing. The usage is ridiculous.
I love ranch dressing. I like to dip my pizza in ranch dressing.
That's fine. You're just not allowed to vote anymore.
Because ranch dressing, you know how they make ranch dressing?
Buttermilk and sadness.
It's the only ingredients.
Interesting fact, before they came up with ranch dressing, no one had eaten a raw vegetable ever. But we know we don't want vegetables, but we haven't wanted fruit for hundreds of years. That's why there's so many paintings in museums of just bowls of fruit. Because you could start painting a bowl of fruit, you could leave for a couple days, come back, no one would have touched the bowl of fruit.
But if you're painting a donut, you better finish it on the first sitting. You can't even take a bathroom break. Hey, what happened to my donut? Your friends are like, oh, some fat guy came in here. Anyway, I'm gonna get some milk and take a nap. That's why there's no donut art. It's sad, really. When's the last time you saw a painting of a donut?
Jim Gaffigan, obsessed. I mean, see, the fact that Jim Gaffigan can be that funny and clean is like, there's like, that's like one of the hardest things to do because he's clean, but sometimes kind of edgy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know how he does that. Like, he's so good. Have you ever heard like his material? You have on Bacon, right? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Where you could just do 9 minutes on Bacon.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if I wrote one joke about Bacon, I'd be like, yeah, I need to fucking do another special right now. But he's doing 9 minutes and it's just like constant, like consistent, you know, hits with him.
Right.
And see, the thing is with Jim Gaffigan, if you're a clean comic,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you something, Nicole. we fucking both. Should make a conscious choice to be clean.
Yeah.
Because when you're clean, number one, your audience can now a family who would have just been a mom and dad,
uh-huh.
but they can't bring their kids to see you,
uh-huh.
can now bring their whole family to see you. It's more ticket sales because a 10-year-old kid could go watch Jim Gaffigan
and
it'd be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be totally fine. No problem at all. Also, there's a lot of things, like, you know, the stand-up clubs, the theaters. Jim does arenas now.
Sure.
But the corporate money, like, you know, don't forget. There's a lot of, you know, big corporations. You
uh-huh.
know, McDonald's, fucking Colgate. I don't know why I thought of Colgate.
The two biggest corporations, Colgate
McDonald's. And Colgate. Those, the who's who of corporations.
Yeah.
When they have like their Christmas parties and shit,
yeah.
they're really only thinking of a few guys to do that, or a few comedians to do that. And it's Seinfeld, Ray Romano, Jim Gaffigan.
Uh-huh.
Now I believe Nate Bargatze and Ryan Hamilton are getting some of these gigs.
Good for Nate.
But we're talking about, babe, we're talking about for like an hour.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. I don't know I don't know exactly what each guy makes, but we're talking about like $300,000 for an hour of your time. No, seriously.
For an hour.
And don't think guys like Jim Gaffigan, I mean, I would assume
yeah.
Jim Gaffigan now, I mean, he's not just doing one of those a year.
No.
I mean, that's just like,
yeah.
you'll look at all his dates that he has listed,
mm-hmm.
theaters, arenas, which is like sick money.
Mm-hmm.
But then the things that he's not listing on his website or any of these comedians are like the other shit, mm-hmm. like the corporate stuff.
The Colgates.
Yeah, when Colgate's like, yo, I'll give you a cool, crisp, refreshing $300,000 tartar control fucking money right here.
Yeah, that's clean teeth.
And that, so it's like a good, like the cleaner you can be, the more palatable you can be to more people,
right?
The more money you're going to make in this business.
That's true.
And Jim Gaffigan told, first of all, I did a show with Jim Gaffigan the other night at Union Hall, Jordan
Very
Carlos
cool.
and Michelle Buteau show, adulting. Shout out Michelle Buteau. She just had twins. She just had twins, right? Twins. They're like 11
did
weeks
she?
Old. Yeah.
Aww,
cute
so
little
glad.
Babies. Jim Gaffigan was on the show, and I have another podcast, which you're going to be a part of one day, too. You're going to be a guest on it one day, called The History Hyenas, and it's about history and nature, and we go fucking wild with Giannis Pappas, who got shot in the leg.
Great podcast.
You can get that on iTunes.
Listen to that after you listen to this one.
Yeah, listen to Stand Up with Chris Stefano.
Both of them every week.
Yeah, both of them every week.
At the same time.
Simultaneously do it.
Different earbuds.
I was going to say different earbuds.
AirPods for this, and then wires for the other
one. Wires for the other one, because we're talking about history, and yeah. Jim Gaffigan knew that I had a history podcast, and he loves history, and he just went on this whole tour of Asia, and he came on to the History Hyena podcast, which is like how are we getting Jim Gaffigan?
That's so cool. Because
he just like loves comics. Like he told us like on the podcast, like I'd rather do your guys' podcast, which like you know doesn't have that many listeners, than like not that many listeners yet, than like go on like a national news network and do an interview. Because the thing is with Jim Gaffigan. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything. Like, he doesn't need to do...
Because he's made it.
He's made so
like
much
beyond
money.
Beyond it, yeah.
Yeah, he just can do truly whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So he just wanted to come talk about history. And he talked about Japan, the history of Japan, for like an hour. He told us a sick fact. It has nothing to do with Japan, but just about... We started talking about India.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, you just think like, the English, like, you know, like there's a small island that like conquered a lot of people and all that stuff. But like, yes. You know, you don't typically think of them as brutal, brutes, magoots. No, the English are brutes, magoots. What they would do when they would go, like,
the English were very brutal.
Yeah, we learned this history fact that when they went over to conquer India, because they wanted to sell, the English wanted to the big market in India was silk. Weaving silk was like a big commodity in India, and England wanted a piece of it, but they wanted the people to buy English silk. But the Indians were like, no, we're making our own silk here. So the English went into India and cut off silk weavers' thumbs. So they couldn't weave the silk anymore. But they do it so politely. They were like, oh, carry on, cheerio. Let me bandage that up for you.
Tea in one hand, knife in the other.
It's like, oh, you know, because we're not decapitating people. They're just cutting your fucking thumbs off.
Can I point something out?
Yes.
I like that Jim Gaffigan spoke about Japan for an hour, and you told us one fact, and it was not about Japanese people.
Nope.
Not even about Indian people,
nope.
But about white people.
About white people. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because the thing we talked about Japan, well, with Japan, the interesting thing we talked about with Japan is, again, how they were very, very, very bad, too, with, like, the rape of Nanking, and they were our enemies in World War II just as much as the Nazis were. But, you know, in this country, we typically, when you think of World War II, the main enemy is the Nazis, which they were, of course. But Japan, no, it's like, I'm not downplaying the Nazis.
This is Stand Up with Chris DeStefano. You don't know about the Nazis. Yeah. There were people that
this
were
worse. This is a podcast where we try to find positives in everything. So, but they were talking about how, like, obviously, Nazis pieces of shit, but like the Japanese like killed a lot of their own people too, and killed a lot of Chinese, and like were fucking awful brutal.
This is what Jim
and it's
Gap
good that
told you.
It's good in World War II we beat the shit out of both of them because United States, baby, Chrissy the Patriot, absolutely.
World War champs,
back to back.
There we go.
Back to back, 2-0.
This is what Jim Gaffigan told you.
Jim Gaffigan, yeah. So it was like a very interesting conversation. But what I'm bringing all this up is because we're talking about consistency.
Yes.
And Jim Gaffigan gave me and Yanni Papas some advice. He was like, first of all, he said this to me because Giannis been doing a little longer. He was like, I've been doing comedy 10 years, really headlining since 2013. So Jim was like, you have to understand, like, you're doing great, but like you still, like, you don't even really know who you are yet. Like, Jim's been doing comedy 34 years. So, and Colin Quinn told me kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, you're funny, you're doing great, like, don't keep doing what you're doing, but like you'll even look back at what you're doing now and be like, that wasn't really me. That you don't know your voice yet.
Whoa.
It's like, because it just takes so much time to know your voice. He said, I'm getting close. He was like, you're probably a couple years away, but like,
that's awesome.
So he was like, so consistency though, he said, you have to remain consistent no matter how low you get in this business. You remain consistent and you just don't let anybody push you out, because he said, likeability is one, which we've talked about in the podcast,
I was
happy to hear that from him, from an extremely successful comedian. He said consistency is two, being funny is three. So
crazy.
Likeability and consistency. See, that's what I'm telling you. Like a lot of people, like, you know, they're like, oh, stand up. I wish I could do stand up. I'm just not that funny. It's like, well, sometimes you don't have to be, you know, sometimes you've got to just be likable and consistent.
And then
you can, you know, fun. I mean, look, you have to be funny, but. I was very interested by what Jim had to say about that. He was like,
that's very cool.
Because he was like, every week you put out that podcast, you don't miss. Every week you put something up on social media. Every week you write a new joke. It's just every week. He said, and then you'll see, like, you'll, because for a long time, Jim, he said, you know, was watching his counterparts blow past him. But he didn't, he just kept consistent. He thought, you know, was with his wife. And he was like, you know, we started having kids. And little by little, he said, I started to, you know, see my comedy paying off. He was like, and now, you know, it's really paid off. I was like, yes, it has really paid off, Jim.
Yeah. He's like, I get the sneaky suspicion that it's all paid off.
Well, I mean, you've seen the Forbes put out the list of highest grossing comedians. Jim's like number three on that list.
Yeah.
I think it's Sebastian, right? Sebastian, I think, sold the most tickets last year.
Yeah.
Seinfeld always sells tickets. Kevin Hart. I think it's Jim, Amy Schumer.
Dunham.
Who? Oh, Dunham always sells tickets. Yeah, kid moves tickets. That's what it's about. That's all we want. Really, if you sell tickets, then it's like nobody can take anything away from you.
Right.
Truly. Like, if you have your fans, then it's like you're fucking untouchable in this business, because, like, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. My fans are coming to pay to see me.
Right,
you know,
right,
I mean, you can't, don't be an asshole. Don't go full Nazi. But you know,
like we learned earlier.
Yeah, like we learned earlier.
The Nazis were bad.
Don't go full Nazi. So
consistency.
Consistency. That's, and so
and
I think,
you did that. At the Comedy Cellar.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a small... Oh, look at that. That's a small example.
Yeah,
I guess you're
emailing every Sunday.
Yeah.
And now you're there.
That's live shit. That's stand-up applied to live shit. Just, you gotta
just
stay
keep
consistent.
Doing it.
You guys, it's little things, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, we don't live in a time anymore where, like, one thing is gonna... Like, it used to be, like, you get on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, your life is changed the next night in stand-up, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's just, like, there's not that... I mean, you could go viral on something, but even that, it's like... You know, it's just got, you got to kind of keep hitting them with
shit. You
got to
keep it doing. Yeah.
But we're hitting them with this. We're hitting them with this podcast.
Every week.
Stand Up with Chris and Stefano.
Another great episode in the bank.
It's just like, it's just fun to come in here and do this. I got a suitcase full of clothing, too, next to me. How crazy is that?
I did
my show Stupid Questions last week in Los Angeles. And then one of the producers, Jess Sepulveda, New York City girl, just like me. She was kind enough to the wardrobe that I wore on the show. She packed it up in a fucking suitcase and brought it back on a plane for me.
Oh my God.
Letting me keep the suitcase and the clothes. And I was like, I can't believe, why are you being so nice to me? She just wrote, I got you, boo. That's what she wrote.
Oh.
And I was like, wow. And this is what I love about Comedy Central.
I'd like to make a co-shout out because that was definitely Jessica's idea, but I have a feeling that Charisse is the one that actually had to like check it physically.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's shout out Charisse.
Shout out Charisse, thank you, Charisse, because I know you were telling me you had a sinus infection when we were out there too. So thank you for having to deal with my fucking bullshit clothing while you're dealing with an actual problem. I'm sure you hate me, but you know I love you.
Well, another Stand Up with Chris Stefano, another episode next week.
Yes. We're here every week. What day are we coming out?
Thursdays.
We're coming out Thursdays. So what's a good day to come out? Thursdays is a good day to come out.
Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
That's what we chose. So.
Every Thursday. Good day.
All right. Bye, Chris.
Nicole.
See you next week.
Bye.
I know a lot of you. You look up here, and all you see is a classic all-American beauty, Bridget Everett. But I got to tell you, it wasn't always like this. When I was a little girl, I was real fucked up looking. Like, for a while, I had just one front tooth, and my brothers, Brock and Brian, called me Fang, right? So I joined the swim team to get some dignity and some self-respect. And I was good. And the better I got, the broader my shoulders got. And then they started calling me Lurch, that guy from the Addams Family. You call me that in the street, I'm gonna cut your dick off, okay? Thank you so much. And then my nipples came in. Like, not my tits, just my nipples. And they got everybody at school calling me Little Nippy Titty. So I ran home. It was a Friday night, I remember, because I was watching Dallas on the Dukes of Hazzard, right? And I'm sitting on the couch and I'm crying. And my mom, she looks at me, she says, Bridget, what's wrong? I said, nothing. She said, Bridget, what's wrong? I said, and then she slid her hand down the back of my pants, like not in a fucked up way, but because I got real soft skin, you'll see. And she said, Bridget, what's wrong? And I said, well, Brock and Brian got everybody at school calling me Little Nippy Titty. Do you know what she said to me? Do you know what she said to me? She said, ooh, don't you cry. Then she said, come with me, let's have a drink. Bridget, you're a woman now. You gotta stand tall and be proud of what your mama gave you. Do you hear me? You got them little nippy titties. Pulled them in the air. She got them tube sack titties. She pulled them in the air. I got these beaver tail titties. I put them in the air. Put them up, put them up, put them up. You got them low riding titties.
Put them up. This has been a Comedy Central podcast.